Hey, this is Lena.
And this is Paul with the SEPS Paranormal Podcast. Check us out twice a month where we will be discussing our most recent paranormal investigations here in Chattanooga, Tennessee.
You can find us at www.sepsparanormal.podshow.com or go to our website, sepsparanormal.org.
Or you can subscribe through iTunes. Just type in SEPS Paranormal in the search field. Come by and check us out.
This is an EVP. This is an EVP. These were recorded by the Long Island Ghost Hunting Team. Light. To hear more, come listen to Light Paranormal Radio. Go to lightparanormal.com and subscribe to us in iTunes.
That. I don't know if I... What is that?
That was me.
No. I heard a woman's voice.
You heard a woman's voice?
Yeah.
What is that?
Sound like hello.
You thought that you'd be fine. Try not to lose. flashed, I saw what looked like a figure standing in the hall.
Okay, this is screen team. We're ready for EVP sweep.
That is weird. These cameras don't do this.
Water supposedly will come off and on in various rooms.
It's a very EMF meter started with some of the hand washing.
You're listening to the number one source for paranormal evidence brought to you firsthand by real investigators in the field. No hoaxes, no disinformation. You're listening to The Ghost Project.
I found myself face to face with someone or something that was attempting to play with my psyche as well as my physical being.
How sure are you of that?
I'm 100% sure of that.
You are listening to Ghostly Talk with your hosts Doug and Scott L.
All right. Who did it?
And who did what?
I just wanted
it
to say
it was me.
That.
No, I blame Doug.
Ah, my fault.
You blame Doug. This is going to be an interesting hour, I think. We have our buddies from MPI, Chris and Wayne. How you guys doing tonight?
Doing
good. All right, we can finally hear you guys. Good.
Yeah.
We got the mic thing figured out. Doug, well, he was hoarding you guys from us for a real long time.
He really was. He didn't want us to meet you. It was just you were Doug's special friend.
He's like, I'm sorry, guys. I got to leave early from the show tonight because I'm going to go visit some friends. And we're like, okay, who are your friends?
Yeah. You know. How late will you be?
Yeah, yeah. I wanted to know what time you were coming in.
And then it was, oh, well, I'm going to hang out with MPI. Oh, I'm going ghost hunting with MPI. Oh, I'm on the phone with MPI. Can I call you back later?
I'm busy right now.
Then it was like, okay, Doug, are these more make-believe friends or are they real? And why can't we meet them?
Well, I'm glad that you're here to prove that you're real.
Yes, we're real people. I'll pinch Wayne. Listen.
Yeah, that works.
Pinch Scott.
Don't pinch me. I don't like being pinched. It hurts. But no, we finally got that. This is our first time meeting. Well, my first time. Me and Bonnie's first time meeting you guys. It's been a pleasure. I have to say, it's been really great hanging out all night. And like I said earlier, you guys got here earlier. We all sat down and chatted and just talked for a little while before Doug and Bonnie got here at like 5:55 p.m.
I didn't know I was on the time clock.
Well, you got dock pay regardless, Bonnie. I'm sorry.
Nothing from nothing is nothing, so I'm good.
So what we're going to be doing is that, and we're going to be, like Doug said before we went to break, we're going to be watching the lines here. If you want to call in and say hello to us or the guys from MPI, feel free. And
Senor, the phone number, 605-475-8590, and the secret code when the lady asks is 555-1081 followed by the pound sign.
Mm-hmm. And you push 1-1 if you want to talk to us.
Yes.
How long has MPI been around?
So we've been around for almost 2 years now.
Okay. And, you know, I think you mentioned before, Doug, I'm just wondering, you know, the groups that are coming out now, I mean, I know Doug and I have told our story 1,000 times of how we got started and whatnot and stuff like that. I'm just wondering what got you guys, you know, interested in the field to go as far as to start up a group like this. And you guys have the best shirts, by the way, too, I have to say.
Thanks.
Oh, thanks, man.
Didn't I not talk about them in the kitchen?
I'm going to take some pictures
week.
Of these before so we can put them up on the site tonight. I think we'll have to do that.
I talked about their wardrobes last week in the kitchen when we were all out on a break, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, you did. You talked about their zip-up hoodies, actually.
Yes, I did. Zip-up hoodies.
Well, they look good. They look really good. But what got you guys interested? I'm sure you guys were interested in this stuff well before you started MPI up. What got you guys into it?
Yeah, we were, you know, interested in the paranormal.
That show on Sci-Fi.
No. Yeah. I do have to admit that did play a little part into my meeting Chris.
Okay.
I have other reasons.
No, I've always been interested in the paranormal. You know, as life goes on, me and my wife have been married, you know, going on 17 years. And as you grow up...
Did you get married at like 12?
Yeah, I was 19.
My God.
We've had this conversation already.
Yeah, we've already discussed
it. No, that's awesome. Congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations.
But, you know, you grow and friends start to spread, and we decided it was time to get out and meet new people.
Mm-hmm.
So I was actually surfing the aforementioned person's website. Came across somebody who was starting up a group in Michigan, mm-hmm. and I said, you know what, I'm going to take a chance. I'm going to email this guy. I've never met anybody offline or online before.
Mm-hmm.
So we started emailing each other back and forth, and we met up at a restaurant. You know, I was sitting there, got there a little early because I'm always prompt.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, I seen this guy walk in with this briefcase, and I'm like, yeah, that's got to be him.
The crazy guy. Yeah, that's me.
But we sat down, and surprisingly, we clicked very well,
mm-hmm.
And things started to really progress from that point. We started, Chris already had a lot of the organization set up on how things should run. He did a lot of homework on that. And, we hit the ground running. I mean, we were able to bring in just fabulous members to our team.
Mm-hmm.
It's more of a family now than it is, you know, just a, we don't just get together to go out to ghost hunt.
Yeah.
You know, we get together and hang out, you know, regardless, to party, basically.
Oh, you've heard about the infamous MPI party.
Did you hear about the, we had Doug dancing on the stools last night.
I heard about this.
Yeah.
We got
it. Wait. I didn't hear about it.
Whoa, there it is.
It's my secret life. Leave me alone.
Do you really want to go there, Doug?
No, I don't want to go there. But
we did.
We would get up on the stools, and you had to dance or whatever.
Oh,
and, yeah.
Okay. By the way, say hi to Kyle and Aaron there in the chat room.
Hi, Kyle. Hi, Aaron.
I would say something else to Kyle,
yeah,
but we're on
can't
the air.
Say that to Kyle on the air right now.
Hi, Kyle. How you doing, Kyle? Who's Kyle, by the way?
Kyle actually is our webmaster, and Aaron's actually our secretary, so they're part of the team.
Aww.
Fabulous people.
Excellent. Well,
Kyle, I said that, so you
I'll
owe
get
me.
You later, Kyle. Don't worry about it.
Now it's on tape.
He called you the webmaster, too.
Yeah.
You know, the ninja.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm kidding.
The web apprentice.
Well, the web apprentice, that's not, the web administrator, that's what we like to refer him to, right? That's our name, right, Doug?
Yeah.
The web administrator.
Co-web administrator.
Co-web, yeah, because we're co-web administrators.
Except for I don't do much anymore, so.
Yeah, I am the sole web administrator.
I just get on Satan's face. that's the only thing in my browser, that's it.
Yeah, Doug administers his MySpace.
Let's talk about this.
You guys are out and about now, and you know, and a lot of people, like you mentioned earlier, a lot of people were inspired by a lot of the media and stuff like that. And I think, you know, we've been asked this question a lot. We've talked about it on the show a lot here, as far as, you know, and we talked about this before, you know, we were just chatting before the show, and I'm like, you know, I like seeing all the groups that are coming out. It's seeing a lot of people out there doing this work, but what are the reasons? You know what I'm saying? What's your motivation for doing that? I've looked at the work you guys have done. Chris brought one of the write-ups, the reports.
You saw a report, yeah.
And I'm like, my God, this is so detailed, I can't believe it.
That's why I want to get MPI together in a room or in the same state as Southern Wisconsin Paranormal folks. I want to get them all together and say, all right, you guys with your tech angle, mm-hmm, right? Because mm-hmm. Southern Wisconsin, they just got it all down, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you guys with your organization and reporting skills.
Yeah.
Have at it.
And have the super group put together.
Yeah, I have a feeling that would be a super group.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
that would be a paranormal super group.
But that should, yes, I think that really, that says a lot, though, in my opinion. I mean, when you go out and do it, because I won't lie, what we do when we go out to, well, when we actually ghost hunt together, we don't really ghost hunt together anymore, do we, Doug? We have our separate things we do.
Right, yeah.
Doug ghost hunts with MPI. You ghost hunt with Amber.
Come on, guys.
And I don't ghost hunt anymore.
No, No, but
we go on separate ghost hunts now.
I know when we go out, I mean, my focus, I mean, I won't lie, I know that a lot of people say, you know, you should be writing stuff down, you should jot notes down. I have horrible penmanship, so that's a completely useless task for me, because when I try to read it later, it's you can't read it.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, I focus on just recording stuff with my recorder, documenting with my recorder. I don't really write stuff down. I don't do reporting and stuff like that. I mean, and I think a lot of it, we said this before, a lot of I'm just doing this for me, as far as, you know, my research and stuff like that. But when you have a team of people and you have five or six people that are going to research an area, it's really important, I think, to document like that and get everybody's perceptions and have it and put it all together in one repository and see, you know, if you have any statistics or anything that you can pull out of that. And that's where, I mean, I looked at this packet, I was like, wow, oh my God, this is so detailed, man. So that's where it's all at, right?
Well, when a person comes wants us to come out to their home investigate, or we go to a location to investigate, the important part is getting as many of the facts as we possibly can. And if it's not well documented, it's pretty much useless. So mm-hmm. we try and take it from every angle, not only including the weather. We want to know where all the equipment is, where all the investigators at are all the time, mm-hmm. what personal experiences they had, when they had them. Is there a correlation between a certain place and their experience? Mm-hmm. Also the tales, the geography of the place, the history of the place, it all kind of ties together. And we try and put as much of that in the report as we possibly can. Mm-hmm. So that way when we come to the client, the person, the homeowner, business owner, it'll be just like, okay, well, here it is. Maybe this is why. So trying to substantiate the claims of a haunting.
And mm-hmm. being so detailed, you learn to eliminate a lot of the contamination that goes along with, you know, evidence.
Oh, yeah.
And stuff like that.
And that's the biggest problem I think people have is that, and I mean, it happens to us all the time, too. So look, listen to what we got. This is pretty cool, you know. Okay, so what was going on there? Doug was out smoking. I was on the stairs. Amber passed out in the corner somewhere.
Bonnie was swinging from the chandelier.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Saying, look at me, look at me.
Yeah.
I, you know, it's just.
No, we can't tell you for sure because we don't have anything documented.
I made that up.
I mean, you guys have maps of the places you go to as far as aerial views, mapping the location out itself, inside and out, even the weather. I mean, and you know, like last night when we went ghost hunting, we said that. We're like, oh, it's a full moon tonight. I wonder if something's going to happen.
That's about as
much detail as we get,
right?
And, you know, we're not super ghost hunters by any means. It's obvious.
Well, that all ties into the whole theory. Weather will affect certain sections of a haunting. So, therefore, we take periodic weather charting throughout the entire investigation.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many theories in this field, as you guys all know, that you have to pretty well put them all into action.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't do that, well, you could be exhausting a very valuable resource.
Exactly. You're totally right. We do have somebody that wants to that has raised their hand.
It's
well,
Homie.
That Homie's going to call in and talk about there's something we want to talk about with the Lost Book of Nostradamus.
Okay. Do we want to do that right now, or what do we want to do?
Either or, it doesn't matter.
Well, we got a couple minutes before we go to break. Is that cool with you guys?
Yeah, well, fine. Go ahead, man.
Are you cool with that?
Yeah.
You sure?
Okay.
You sure?
Oh, yeah, positive. Positive.
All right. Let's,
no, wait. No,
hold on now.
Wait, I don't know if I want to do that.
This is Homie, right?
Bring it, yeah, this
Homie, you're on the air, man.
Oh, hello, guys. How are you?
Well, pretty good, thanks. How are you doing?
How are you doing?
Not too bad, Doug and Scott and Bonnie. And everybody out there in the world that's listening. Hey, you know, we had an interesting thing. You know, we talk about Nostradamus quite a bit. And last month there was a very interesting show on the History Channel called The Lost Book of Nostradamus.
I saw that, Homie, and I was wondering if you were any of those experts.
Well, I wasn't on the show, but I had conversation with Victor Baines a few days later after the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I gave him a little insight, and I'm giving this publicly for the first time on your show.
Okay.
A little insight on the prophecy that Nostradamus wrote in Century 10, Quatrain 74.
Okay.
This one talks about the 7 years past the great number of being passed, and it talks about how the sports of ghostly sacrifice, or the ghosts shall come out of their graves, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not far from the age of the millennium. Now, we had talked about this prophecy before, and along with Victor Baines at some times in the past 4 years. And I had stated that this 7 years had to deal with the prophecy of Century 10, Quatrain 72, where it talked about the year 1999.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, 7 years past the great age of the millennium, should say either that year or the year 2000. So, the aspect of the lost book of Nostradamus coming to the forefront of this year, even though they were found back in 1994, that is, it's been widely known and publicized this past year, you know, in our year when they advertised the show. They did a major campaign of advertising this show, and it was a widely watched show. And with the aspect of the lost book, meaning ghostly sacrifices of past lives of mankind's history, along with the sacrifices of many people of having to keep this book intact for many years, with the many problems of the Catholic Church pertaining to what they call heretics or things that talked about the future. We know that the problem Nostradamus had with the Catholic Church at the time, the Inquisition. So basically, with the aspect of understanding this quatrain, Century 10, Quatrain 74, I think this would give a very good enlightenment of what he meant. His book being found, being publicized at this time, and that we could see the sacrifice that it took for people to make sure this book was kept in its context as much as possible. This should clear up to understanding that some people thought this might be a very bad quatrain about future of our lives right now being maybe a very bad war. So I think this might clear up that understanding quite a bit.
Well, most people talk about that particular quatrain being something about the rapture or something like that? I mean, the ghosts rising up from the graves, et cetera?
Yeah, some people do talk about that.
It's actually talking about itself, or talking about this lost book.
Yes, because even in his quatrains, I think Century 5, Quatrain 80, he talks about, you know, his works as being widely publicized at this time. So, you know, it's just that sometimes he wrote about his own works.
What can we learn about from this lost book? What can we learn about ourselves? Because if he was writing, and it makes sense, it really does. I read the piece that you've done on it. If he was writing about his own works showing up again after, you know, being kept hidden in secret and somehow, I mean, because I wouldn't know how to care for a centuries-old book myself. So this thing was held, you know, was given to me. I'd throw it on the top shelf of my closet or whatever, and I'd be like, that's all I can do. I don't know how to keep it in, you know, hermetically sealed or anything like that, or how to do the humidity necessary to not have it decay. You know, that kind of. Humidor. I'd have to put it in a humidor.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know what to do, but obviously the church held this book for centuries or whatever, and before that it had passed hands and, you know, passed down through many hands. Well, that it survived, that Nostradamus saw that this thing would survive and surface about this time, there must be something in there that really needed to come out now. Well, what do you think it is?
Did you say you caught the show?
I watched it. Yes, I was multitasking, but I did have it on, and I was actually watching for you. I was wondering if you were going to be on the show. I said, oh my gosh, I bet homie could be on the show, but you weren't on there. But I, you know, I got to learn a lot, but I only got to see, you know, bits and pieces. I was multitasking, but I did have it on.
Well, during the end of the show, where they talked about the final pages or the final pictures that were drawn, okay, of certain prophecies, they talk about the end, or they do talk about 2012, the year 2012.
Yes, they did.
They even talked about a 13th constellation in the zodiac sign.
Yes, they did.
And they talked about how every 30,000 years, the planets come into a certain alignment, and we're coming to that point of time in 2012. So, and Nostradamus wrote about certain other things concerning a certain individual that they are now searching for.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And what the understanding should be is that this certain person is not here or going to be here to bring about destruction. He is only going to unveil the crookedness of the whole sections of religions, whereby bringing a better understanding for everybody throughout the world to give understanding of God and spirituality and the hereafter, and that there is another realm besides this life form. That's the possibility of what it's all about.
This is interesting.
So that's why they're now...
I was going to say, this is interesting because it also coincides with, you know, the list of popes, you know, is coming to an end. I mean, there's only supposed to be one more after this one, according to
St. Malachi.
The word. St. Malachi's list of popes and things like that. I was just, you know, that's sort of corresponding to 2012-ish sounding. Mm-hmm. Then there's the Lost Book of Nostradamus, which, you know, had references, we think, now because of you. Good job, by the way, homie, tying those quatrains in that were known about to the book. And then of course, what it says in the book about 2012 and some kind of global enlightenment. Something will be realized, you know, about the...
It'll be able to start listening to Motorhead.
Maybe that's it. Maybe Lemmy will.
Even Nostradamus, he wrote about years thereafter 2012.
Yes.
Okay. So the 2012 year frame could only mean, probably, the whole aspect of everybody around the world coming to an enlightenment of spirituality and how we all treat each other around the world. Whether, you know, it could be that time frame where even Nostradamus, I got to bring up a quatrain where he wrote about a 7,000-year reign of a monarch. Okay, and it doesn't come to my mind exactly which prophecy that one is off the top of my head, but I do remember him writing that. So that could be the time frame where it could be peace throughout the world for quite a few millenniums, I should say.
Then it sounds
looking
like
forward 20, to it.
The day after Thanksgiving 2013 is when I will return to the stores, then, because everyone will be at peace with everybody else.
No, please, take that DVD player. I insist.
No, you can have the toy that's going to be the hot one this year.
Yeah, my kid will not kill me if I don't get it.
But
So I feel, you know, with this understanding, I feel people should not go crazy and thinking it's going to be the end of the world, because it's not going to be.
And I'm very glad to hear that.
It's good to hear, definitely. Homie, we got to move on with the MPI guys, but let's talk later on, though. We're going to bring you back on the show sometime. We've been talking about that. So
I hope so, because, you know, toward the end of the year is when people start thinking prophecy.
Yeah, totally.
Homie 3.
Give me a call this week, all right, homie?
We'll talk to you again.
Take care of yourself.
No problem.
We'll see you soon. Have a good night.
Okay, take care, guys.
Thank you.
People and at NBI, and may God bless everybody.
Good talking to you,
too.
Good
job, homie, on
that. Good
talking to you.
See you later,
thank
man.
You.
Bye-bye. It's a nice little surprise visit.
I think that's fantastic because...
We're just going to blow through the break.
Okay.
We're just going to blow through the break.
Sounds good to me.
We were talking to the MPI guys, though.
Speaking of prophecy, yeah. that is one of my... hooks are one of my things that I really, really dig. And you guys were pretty quiet, probably because you don't know Homie or anything like that, but what...
Cool guy.
What do you think of prophecy in general?
I it's really hard to say. There's so many different views. You take one of Nostradamus' quatrains, and you can interpret that 9, 10, 12 different ways.
Yeah.
You know, he's trying to go the whole 2012 thing. Well, that all ties into this big Mayan calendar thing, too, that's been going on. So it's really hard to say. They're interesting.
Right.
Okay, it's hard to say what they all mean. I mean, you could read...
Well, hindsight is more 2020 than
and I agree.
Know, foresight. But I have to say that I just absolutely really, you know, dig the whole thing. I think prophecy is just fascinating.
It's always been one of your big interests, I know, Doug. It's been a big thing for you. And I find it fascinating myself, but I got to go with Chris on that, too. Especially Nostradamus. And Homie, we talked at great length on the phone before, private conversations about the stuff. And I find it fascinating. But, yeah, sometimes, you know, it's tough to swallow it all when you have 10 or 12 different interpretations.
Yes.
Impersonations.
No,
how
interpretations.
Would that work? How would that work? Okay, but interpretations of it.
People do impersonate, and they come up with fake quatrains and try and, you know, pollute the you know,
well, the data pool.
The stream.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Well, I think they're interesting. It's just you got to remember, if you are like a student in Nostradamus, some things kind of lead to good things, while the other things can scare the hell out of you.
Yeah, that is true.
You know, so you got to be really careful on how you interpret something like that.
Yes, definitely. We're going to call Tom later on, too, by the way.
Okay.
We've gotten the green light. Well, he wants us to call him.
Okay.
So something good may have come of that.
That sounds good.
Before Homie called in, we were talking about, what the hell were we talking about? I totally forgot. Drinking, booze.
Doug dancing on the stools.
Dancing on the stools.
Well, no, yeah, you guys do get out. That's what you mentioned, is that, you know, it just isn't, you know, they're not coworkers, and I hate to use that term like that, but, you know, you guys are a family. You guys get together and hang out, have fun together, you mix it up and party a little bit. And they always, you know, that's what we've done with Ghostly Talk. We all hang out together.
They also rock at trivia.
Yeah.
Totally rock at trivia.
We're nerds.
I think you studied for the trivia test last time.
Do we want to drop this one in?
Yeah, let's pop that one.
Is that cool with you guys?
Yeah, that's fine.
All right. Somebody from, from Michigan.
This is a Michigan person.
I'm guessing Devin.
Okay, Devin. Let's see who's on the line. Who's on the line?
Devin.
Talk about prophecy. That was awesome.
Well, I rule.
I know, Bonnie. You got the gift.
I do.
Devin, what's up, man?
I just wanted to call.
Uh-oh.
Excuse me, that I'm doing.
You're
like, last
in trouble.
Last time I've been on air was about 3 years ago, and now I'm pretty busy.
What happened?
The last time I talked to you guys was about 3 years ago, and now I got many projects to talk about. So
that is
hopefully
true.
Hopefully I won't sound like a fool this time.
Well, go for it.
You don't sound like it. You impress us every time. Every time. But I do know that you've been working on tons of projects.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know I told Doug and Bonnie, but probably not Scott, but right now I'm working with a published author. I can't say the name or anything much about it, but it's a vampire themed book. So that's coming along really good. I'll let you guys know when I can talk about it and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Midnight Eclipse, yeah. I moved, Renee moved, and then she moved again. Right now I'm working on something with Elissa.
We know Alyssa.
I talked to Doug a little bit about it. Hopefully we'll be able to talk about that. It's still in the planning stages. But it's kind of a spinoff off from the Psychic Challenge.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
If you guys check out the back of the book called Girl Hero, it comes out in July of next year.
Okay.
It's by Carrie Jones. How authors do little shout-outs in the back of the books. You can see me in the back, a little shout-out to Devin Burton.
That is awesome.
And
yeah.
The coolest thing that I can say that has happened to me so far to do with paranormal is I was contacted about a book through a published author who was working on something, and they've never written a book about paranormal, and they needed a couple websites and references, and, like, what is this type of haunting? And so they asked me to help them out, since I'm a book reviewer. So I did that, and I ended up being written into the book, as well as a little shout-out in the back. And that book, they're still trying to get it sold, but I have faith in the person. They've sold already about 7 books.
Hey, it's where you start at, Devin, and it's really exciting, man.
Yep. So I've been up to a lot, and hopefully I get to meet up with you guys again.
We got to get together sometime. It's been forever, Devin.
Yeah, I've been talking to Amber, actually. There's a couple...
Excuse me, Devin?
I don't think he's trying to move.
You're moving out of my Kool-Aid, boy. You're moving out of my Kool-Aid. Well, you've been talking to Amber. Okay, keep going. I want to hear the rest of this now, man.
We have a couple spots where I'm from, actually, where the old fair used to be.
Mm-hmm.
The grandstand collapsed, and so many people died. I don't know the exact number, but I believe it was a few hundred.
Mm-hmm.
We've had a train crash, and there was a lot of different stories from other people, but there's always stories of train crashes. I actually have been out to a part of the site. It's where people say the crash happened, but the actual crash happened 3 miles down. In the area that I was, people would say, oh, we hear horse hooves. When people were trying to go tell the police and stuff that a train crash happened,
uh-huh.
When actually there's, like, a horse ranch right next to it. It took me a while because I was standing on the tracks and it kind of spooked me. And I started walking down the road. And in the distance, you can see horses running around and stuff.
I have to say, I went to South Bend, Indiana once. Mm-hmm. And I know this isn't where you're talking about, but one of the legends was of a road with a house that appears and disappears and all these different things. And one of the things that that you see...
It's a trailer home.
Is... One of the things that you're supposed to see is a horse like coming at you or something like that, or you know, from down the road.
Yeah.
And of course, right along, like as you're driving along this road, there's a horse farm. And there's, like, horses trying to escape the, you know... I mean, they're like, right up there at the road.
They're not happy about their present situation.
Okay, so if they just got... If they did escape, yeah, they would be coming directly at you. I didn't put much credibility in that particular legend. Mm-hmm. So, in this case, with the, you know, the voices... But the
Sounds like Mr. Ed to me, guys. Let's pack it up and go home tonight.
So good call there.
Good
Devin.
Call there, Devin. Call. Yeah, definitely, man. Anything else going on?
Well, the last thing is we had the Comstocks found my city. That's the name of the family, and they needed to make a graveyard. Well, they buried their baby, their firstborn child, because it died. And well, obviously they buried it dead, but
I hope so.
They buried it right by a river, and they realized, well, that's not going to work too well. But they just left the baby there and found new land to make the graveyard.
Mm-hmm.
And not too many years ago, they dug up the baby's body and moved it to a different cemetery.
Well,
and the cemetery has had a lot of reports, too. So me and my mom, a person who always helps me with everything, is going to go to the library and dig in archives and stuff and see what we can find out and then send you a little case file report.
Awesome. Thank you so much. That'll be totally great. Sounds like you're very busy, Devin.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to fit everything in with school sometimes.
Same here, I tell you.
Push school a little back.
I tell you. I wish I was in school again. I miss school.
Yeah.
We need that.
I might actually end up coming up to Detroit for college, because it's one of the few colleges that offer a class for library science.
Oh, really? Yeah, you know what? And I know that, you know what? That's why you've been talking to my girlfriend, haven't you?
I'm like, hey, Amber... I'll be coming soon.
Well, no, because Amber is thinking about going to getting her master's in library science now, and one of the there's only a couple of locations in Michigan where you can get that degree, and one of them is Detroit. So you're right, Devin. So definitely something to check out there.
All right.
Thank you, Devin. Thank you, Devin. Very much.
Yeah, good talking to you, Devin.
And good. It's taken a long time to get you back on.
Yeah. Okay. You guys have a good day.
We'll talk soon, man. Be safe. All right. Tell your mama we say hi.
Okay.
See you, buddy.
Bye.
Now, before you go into anything else, Chris, I'm supposed to ask you about your penguin fetish.
Oh.
He does indeed have a penguin
fetish.
Oh, wait a minute. Now, we were talking about Linux before the show.
Yeah.
Yes, it's true.
That's why you got all excited and started touching yourself. Let's hear about this. Let's hear about this, man.
Well, I don't know how it started. I can't really, you know, put a... day exact when all of a sudden there was a penguin, and now everything I own has to have a penguin on it. That's just me. I've got penguins in my office. I've got penguins in my office at work. It's just sick. It's one of those really weird things. Everybody that knows me, I see a penguin, I gotta have it. It's just one of those things. I go to the Detroit Zoo, I hang out in the penguin house. I mean, the rest of the zoo could just go away.
Oh yeah, the Detroit. I was just there last summer, and I went to the penguin auditorium. They call it. Have you been there, Doug?
Yeah.
They sit there and race around and stuff like that.
They
all there. Those emperor penguins, like on that. Well, I'm sure you own the film March of the Penguins, right?
Yeah, I do actually.
I love that movie. The part
Happy
the best.
Feet. As soon as that came out, it was like the Star Wars people. I was like camping outside. I mean, it was
it's a fascinating film. I actually ran it one day and watched it. And God, man, they put that thing together so well. The amount of work they had to put in. I mean, these people are right in the middle of these penguins.
I think what we need to do is we need to get the penguin exhibit at the Detroit Zoo. We need to start a nasty rumor of it being haunted. So that MPI and Ghostly Talk can go out there and do overnight investigation.
You mean MPI and Doug?
MPI and Doug can go out and do it.
And then you come and report to us.
Right.
Hey guys,
right.
I went to the penguin auditorium with the MPI guys, and we got all kinds of cool stuff.
Three nights. It was great.
Yeah, it was
imagine
awesome.
Imagine going through that audio.
I just did it for you. But no, that's okay. Penguins.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Okay. Well,
that was brought up as a fetish. Who brought that up?
You got it off your chest, though, and that's the first step.
That is the first step.
I do feel better.
I believe the guilty party would be Kyle.
Yeah. He's going to get you back for that.
You are mine, Kyle. Well, you know, we'll go into maybe another time when we're on, Kyle, about your little tiara. How about that?
There we go.
And the hilarity of these guys are firing notes. They're firing back at each other on the air.
We need photos of that, too.
Well, actually, we do have
photos. Yeah, we have photos.
Oh, perfect.
When you join MPI, there's an initiation process that you have to go through, so it's...
This isn't like the Crips or anything like that.
No,
it's our hazy.
It's always incriminating photos.
You in, man. What's that?
There's always incriminating photos being taken.
So. Oh, okay.
Kyle?
I have lots of those.
Kyle?
You want to see those on the World Wide Web, Kyle? We'll give them to Scott. I have mine.
We haven't had a focus photo in a long time.
No, we haven't. Yes. We haven't done a focus photo show in a long time. Yeah. We're talking about Kyle.
Kyle.
So yeah. We do have the thong pictures.
We do have thong pictures. Yeah.
Those don't have Kyle.
They don't
have
Kyle.
Get Kyle in those.
We'll put thong and a tiara.
We'll put a GT thong on Kyle and have him
wear a tiara, and Bonnie will take photos.
There you go.
Why me?
Because you've got the best camera.
Okay.
You guys want to blow a call on the Tom really quick and see what we got? Is that
all right
with you guys?
Yeah, well,
sounds
good.
All right. This has been kind of a busy hour here, don't you think, guys?
We even missed the break.
We even missed a break.
We signaled to each other with, pillows.
With ultra elite, and, like, brain power.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Yes, we're just going to blow through the break. And
all right, heads up. Here he comes.
That would be Tom's phone ringing.
Yes, right here, live
on
Ghost
Talk. This is so exciting.
This is fascinating.
This is almost like paranormal investigation.
I know, this is just amazing.
Just like, he's expecting our call?
Yeah, he's expecting our call.
This must be Ghosty Talk.
Yes, indeed.
Why do you let it ring three times?
Why did we have to let it ring?
To build the suspense?
Have you gone through the videos? What did you find?
I have gone through the video, and... nothing conclusive. Unfortunately. Other than, what can I say,
There was some
dust. There was a little dust on the video, but you know how I feel about that, so.
Well, we tried, Tom. That's cool, dude.
Doug
I appreciate
has
you.
Melted
yeah.
down.
Yeah, Doug's finally, he's officially melted. You all right, man?
Melted down.
He's done, dude. We finished him off here. Doug, you all right, man?
I'm not laughing at the results. I'm laughing at your penguin impersonation.
Hey, all right, Tom, good job, man. No, thanks seriously for going through that so fast and, hitting us back up to give you a call. That's really cool.
I went through pretty fast. Now, as far as the audio goes, that's not to say there's nothing on there.
Yeah.
But just doing the fast forward and looking for any kind of anomalies or any kind of changes in the video,
yeah,
there was nothing there.
Well, awesome, Tom. We'll hit you. Well, I'll talk to you after the show, I'm sure, man. But thanks for letting us blow a call into you again. And we'll keep an eye on. What's that?
I'm disappointed that it shut off last night because I really think that's when things usually happen. Late at night, midnight and dawn. So we'll try it again.
I don't want to put anybody on the spot, but I'm gonna be on that side of town again this weekend, Tom. So if you want to try it again, maybe we'll pull an all nighter because I know Linda mentioned that over the weekend here when we were talking. She's like, if you guys just want to spend the night here one night, let's just do that. So if you guys, if you're interested in maybe doing that, we could try something like that possibly.
She's sitting right next to me, and I just got the nod, so consider it done.
Thank God she's into it. Could have been a big trouble. But all right, Tom, we're going to run around. We'll talk later, okay, man? We'll arrange that, and we'll report on the show here again. All right?
Sounds good.
Thanks, Tom. Tell Linda we said hi.
Okay, she's right here on speakerphone.
Hi, Linda.
Hi, Linda.
We'll talk to you guys later, okay?
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Wow. That was awesome, Scott.
What was awesome?
Your
penguin.
I've never seen Doug melt like that before.
That was the funny, when I realized that it was,
the first time. We've melted this guy now several times.
The first time was create your own cult, I think. And
yes.
You were
so funny on that show.
That was years ago, man. It was years ago.
We should pull that one back. We should pull that one out of the archives.
I've looked for it. I cannot find it. I have no idea what episode it was that we did Create Your Own Cult.
We should do like a whole show. Well, we got our anniversary coming up here pretty soon in the next couple of months.
Yeah.
So maybe we should pull that one out of the archives and just try to dust it off and see where it's at, first of all, then dust it off, and then put it up on the
air. If anybody listening has recently listened to the complete set of archives, which I know there are, because everybody emails me all the time, I just listened to the complete set of archives.
Time Life commercial. The complete archives. Ghostly Talk.
If you remember which episode it was that we did Create Your Own Cult, I want to know what episode it was, and what year, and what episode number, and then we'll do
the rest of it, because I'd like to listen to that again, because that was, you totally shot down
that. That was so bad. I want to know about historic Fort Wayne, because that's where we had gone to historic Fort Wayne, or are we not allowed to talk about it?
No, we can. We can talk about historic Fort Wayne. We've been there several times. I must say it is quite possibly the most interesting, large, equipment intensive place that we've ever been.
Mm-hmm.
The whole history of the fort itself, going back, you know, predating the Civil War, with the barracks itself, the underground tunnels, Doug, we were all through there, and we did all, setting up the equipment is just a nightmare all in itself.
Mm-hmm.
The miles upon miles of cables.
But don't get them wrong, I mean, the team really got together and just started running wires and doing all kinds of stuff. I mean, so you did have help, but yes, you do have to, it is a very equipment-intensive setup.
Yeah.
Well, prior to anything, we plan most investigations, like the Normandy invasion. So
true.
We actually draw up plans to an investigation.
We shall go on to the end. Yeah, we shall never surrender.
Right. We're rappelling down the walls of historic Fort Wayne. But, it's, you know, thanks to the coalition, the Historic Fort Wayne Coalition, the Parks and Rec Department let us in there. It's been an honor and a pleasure to work with them. As well as some people that you guys both know, Kat and Bev from Haunted Travels.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Two of the most fantastic ladies. Actually, we worked down there with them on that. And just, you know, the entire thing doing Fort Wayne in itself is, it's just an experience.
Mm-hmm.
Is the place haunted? We don't know. I mean, we've been there several times. We have gotten
things here or there. You know, we can at least say that.
Yeah,
much.
We can say that. We can't divulge anything that we got because we are working currently with Haunted Travels, and that's going to be in their book for release in 2008.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I can't wait. But also, there's eyewitness testimony. I mean, even when I was there, there were those folks sitting there waiting for an expected haunting to happen, and I was absolutely flabbergasted. They're like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, it happens. Well, we've heard it.
Well,
I know.
Everybody on the coalition, even reenactors that go down there themselves, actually have had experiences. In a book that was published, there was a supposed picture of an apparition that was taken. The people that were there, I know Dave, one of the people that we work very closely on the coalition, actually has had experiences. Tom has experienced things. The colonel that works with the coalition and has written the book actually has had experiences. There are so many experiences out there. And to actually hear about them, it's what we call an open case. It's something that we're always listening, we're always watching, we're trying to gather as much information, see what areas might be hot, what might be not, you know, so we can keep moving around. It's just a constant gathering.
Yeah, it's just such a large area to cover. You not only have the barracks and inside
it's
the fort.
It's like a small city.
Yeah, you actually have an whole entire neighborhood right outside the fort, too. You have the Spam Am Guardhouse, the Commandant's House, NCO Row. And I think there's like three streets.
And my favorite, of course, was the bitter, bitter, bitter cold jail.
Oh God! Yeah.
Very, very cold in that place. But it's an actual jail from turn of the century or before. This thing is amazing. And that's the haunted side, of course, of historic Fort Wayne. But of course, it is. I mean, it starts with historic for a reason. It is a part of the history of the formation of the United States, as well as part of the city of Detroit.
Well, that point in the river is the closest point to Canada, and that's why that fort was built, was to actually protect the United States from an attack from Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And the fort itself is one of the oldest star formations forts left in the world.
And wasn't it also something about...
I think they're going to attack us again. We hope that thing's still operational.
Oh, yeah, we're ready to go. We're ready for them. Wasn't it taken over or not taken over? Wasn't Detroit?
That was the actual fort in Detroit.
Previous to Detroit.
Yeah, Fort Detroit was actually taken over, but from historic Fort Wayne, not a shot was never fired in Anchorage.
Actually, when it was completed, it actually sat empty for the first 10 years.
Oh, that's a lot like my brain.
That's nice.
Well,
I thought a casino took it over.
Yeah, I'm sure that's coming at some point.
It's going to be one humongous Starbucks any moment.
There you go.
That's why I'm glad. That's why I'm glad the coalition has it.
See, we're not only down there investigating though. We're working with the coalition, helping them restore the place. You know, trying to get the word out that place is actually still down there. It is one of Metro Detroit's, you know, premier landmarks. Unfortunately, it's gone forgotten over the years.
Mm. There's so many people who live in the city who don't even know that it's there. Mm.
It's an amazing place, very historical, and they're definitely. I mean, I can see where they've put a lot of hard work into, you know, even bringing it up to code enough to have tours and things
people
like
walk
that.
Through there.
You know.
Well, I'm hoping that, you know, Doug, you've been down there with us now. I know at the last show we had this thing. I'm going to handle it with you two right here to my right. You guys are going to come down and investigate with us, right?
Oh, yeah, we'd love to.
Sure.
We'd love to.
I think they're going down on December 29th, the coldest day of the year.
I don't think so.
No? I'm just kidding.
Just so you know, if we do go down in the winter, the barracks is heated, so.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's where I'll be at.
But no, because when you're on a ghost hunt with MPI, you get assignments.
But I don't want to be cold. So we need to work this stuff out, guys.
Yeah.
No, you put me anywhere you want.
I'm there. That's
Wayne,
my assignment.
Wayne, it's unfortunately your turn now. I am to ask you what happens when a paranormal investigator meets an antique wicker chair.
Oh, no.
Jeez. Let me guess. That was asked by Kyle?
I cannot reveal my
You know what? I should have brought that audio. That's
okay.
All I have to say.
Well, speaking of
the only damage that MPI has done at a client's home, unfortunately, we were in a house doing an investigation, and there was two rocking chairs sitting right out in the middle of the dining room area.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and one of the first things we ask a client is there anything that we need to be aware of? You know, she says, no, everything's free. You know,
yeah, yeah.
Go wherever you want to. So she brought up that, the client brought up that there was possibly some activity attached to this chair. So that's sitting right out in the open. So I'm like, well, let me sit in this chair and see if I can.
Oh, no.
Depending on what happened. Unfortunately,
oh, no.
Yeah, the
follow
wicker
the
didn't
bouncing
hold up.
Ball here, guys.
Yeah. All right.
The wicker didn't hold up, and yeah, I went through. It came very
so
close to being stuck there, you know, like that, but.
Oh, my
I was able
God.
To get myself out and.
That
yeah,
wasn't your fault, though.
No,
what
no,
do you
no.
do when they have
first off,
I would be, like, complaining about the chair. Excuse me.
This antique wicker chair sucks.
Well, after that, the client said, no, there's don't sit in anything. There's all kinds of antiques here. And it's like, oh.
Well, you can tell me now after I just cracked my tailbone on the
all
ground.
All I know is that I was doing an EVP session upstairs, and I heard him come up. The door opens, and I'm like, okay. Here comes Wayne. He goes, man, I have got to talk to you. Right
oh,
now.
No.
And I'm like, what? What? He's like, oh, well, just come on downstairs. Just come on downstairs. Next thing I know, I'm looking at this chair and going, oh, God.
Now, that question probably had to be asked by either Joe or Russ.
Oh, my God. I cannot reveal my sources.
I will get that source.
We'll get it for you after the show.
But, yeah, that was definitely an interesting night for me.
I can imagine. Was this at the beginning of the investigation, middle, end? Where was it at?
It was towards the middle.
Towards
you
the
know,
middle,
obviously,
yeah.
I felt horrible. But,
we did consult the client as is normal protocol and say, look, you know, we're sorry with this. We offered to replace it. And
yeah.
It was fine, but I must say it was very comical.
Well,
for
yeah.
You guys.
You're always going to laugh.
Almost stuck in the chair.
You're always going to laugh in retrospect about something like that, but I can understand how you feel about that, though, Wayne.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, oh, God, what, you know, but hey, like, I don't think it was your fault, though. I mean, it sounds like, you know, you were just trying to figure out what's going on with this. You're investigating this thing. I don't know. I'm sorry, dude.
We should have brought that audio segment, so yes, nationwide. Wayne's butt just went through.
Well, that's the beauty of recording everything, too. And, I mean, that's why I said earlier, I'm like, when I get there, I usually just throw the recorder around a lot of times and just let it go. Because, you know, you may not get something anomalous on tape, but, gosh, you get some really hilarious stuff. Like the bird thing from, like, 2002.
Yeah.
When the birds just jump. I mean,
oh,
the middle,
that was awesome.
Yeah, in the middle of winter, these birds just jump out of a tree on me and scare me. You hear me just, like, one four-letter word after another, man.
Suicide.
Yes, he made an owl.
Yep, there was that's on tape. I have that archive somewhere where I made an owl jump out of a window and like kill itself. It was so saddening.
It's
all on tape.
Same with video too. We've got some good video of some of our members doing bat dances when the bats are dive bombing them. And
awesome.
You guys, it's obvious that you guys are very busy. You guys get out there, and it's so awesome to have you guys in the studio too. It's been really awesome to talk to you guys and hang out.
Oh, it's definitely been great.
Yeah, learn about what you guys do. I mean, it's such an impressive outfit you guys got running.
While we do, you know, like to have fun,
we're still very
professional when it comes time to investigate.
Well, yeah, and that's, yeah. I mean, what we always say around here, I think that's the belly of the show now. You know, take your work very seriously, but don't take yourself completely seriously.
Exactly.
I think that's, if you have that attitude in this field, I think you do very well. Whether you get something on tape or film or not, you still get something out of that, and that's learning about this stuff.
Yeah, and, you know, while we're here, I'll take the opportunity to say that, you know, we do have a fabulous team. This goes out to all of our members. There's not anybody on our team that we would like to do without. Everybody contributes. Everybody adds.
Mm-hmm.
It's been great to see how everybody has. We have such a cohesive group,
mm-hmm.
and we're all family. It's not just getting together to ghost hunt. We're all there to support each other,
mm-hmm.
and we just have a blast, and it's a labor of love. We all love what we do,
and
we love the people we do.
A lot of work.
And that's what it's all about. Yeah, it's a ton of work. Believe me, I know.
And you do. You have a fantastic team. I really appreciate MPI. And
we're going to have you guys coming back here.
And all the work that you've been doing.
Hey, anytime you'll have us.
Yeah.
Every Sunday in October, you were up at the locker room in Utica.
Yep. Fabulous place.
Teaching people about the paranormal and letting people ask you any crazy question that they had, which was just amazing. And you guys did a lot of hard work there too. So keep it up.
We're gonna have you guys come in here whenever you want. You guys got an open door here. That's how I feel about it. You guys want to drop in?
It.
Just drop in, hang out.
Hey, thanks, Scott. We're up at the locker room usually every Thursday. If you ever want to stop by, just say
hi. Yeah,
if
anybody's in the Detroit area, stop on by. We're up there hanging out.
Yeah, definitely check that out. Locker room, and that's in Shelbytown. Wait,
Utica.
That's in Utica. Utica. What's Crossroads?
M59 and Old Van Dyke.
Oh wow. That's right by our T-shirt distributor.
Yes, it is.
Probably right behind there. We'll get you guys up there.
I know where it's at. I know exactly. It's right. As a matter of fact, if I remember correctly, it's like two doors down from our T-shirt distributor.
That's exactly right down there.
You know where we're talking about, man.
We're going to have you two dancing on the bar stools here.
Oh, that sounds...
Woohoo!
Hey, Doug, we'll put Scott in the chair.
Oh, that sounds good.
Nice. We got to take off, though.
What's your website?
Yeah, what's your website?
It's www.metroparanormal.org, and we also have a MySpace page, just MySpace MPI. We'll be there.
Definitely check these guys out. They're good friends of ours. You're going to be hearing a lot more from them coming up on the show here, I hope. You guys, like I said, drop in anytime you guys want.
Absolutely. Appreciate it.
We'd love to have you. We got to call it tonight, though. We're running over here.
We're going to be in big trouble.
I know. We're going
to
kill
you guys. I have to thank Rich Guzzi, of course. I have to thank Indiana Ghosts president, Mike McDowell.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Wayne and Chris.
Yeah, homie and Devin dropped in also.
Yes, and Wayne and Chris from MPI, Metro Paranormal. And this has been the show. Everybody, thank you for listening.
I need to go someplace where a man can think. I listen to now.
Balanced news coverage.
your talk show. And if we don't get it, we'll make it ourselves. Don't hate the media, become the media.
I need to go someplace where a man can think.
The media, become the media.